See, there is a part of our, there is something which we like to present to the public, especially in our community. There is a way in which we are expected to behave, and we like to also show that because we want to be recognized by our community. But this is Satchinandan Swami number one. You know, the Swami with the person you see, with a smile, with the well thought out plans, lectures, with the good person who sits there, chants very concentrated. But then there is Satchinandan Swami number two. That you will see behind closed doors. You know, he may not be so exemplary. He may sit in a very relaxed way. His legs go all over the room, he may not talk so elegantly, but he may severely criticize that one temple president from the country ABC, he may all of a sudden turn out, my God, this Swami is a fault finder. See how he's criticizing others. This is number two, the version number two of Satchinandan Swami. So we all have this. We have a picture, we have a facade which is publicly presentable, but then we have another side to us which is just as much belonging to us as the facade which we played to the outside. It's sometimes more us. You know, it belongs more. I know the Kami say, there was your President Bush. You know, I shouldn't say your president. I think no one identifies with him. But he got this, you know, he looks publicly presentable, but then he spoke a remark and it was picked up by the microphone about some person, and it was such an obscene word, you know, which he used. President Bush number two was speaking, you know, and there was a scandal because somehow he thought the microphone was like this, switched off, but it was still on, you know, and it picked it up. I sometimes think if Manu would invent a loudspeaker which is hooked up to my brain and you would hear all of my thoughts throughout the day, you would think I'm not listening to this schizophrenic man who is paranoid, schizophrenic. Thank you. Oh, yeah, okay. Schizophrenic, yes, yes, yes. So this was being number two. So we all have these two sides. I spared you. I did not give examples by putting my laser mind on one of your lives and so on. But we all have this. They are called, let me say, no, it's a little different concept, a conditioned self and a constitutional self. But we are divided between these two things. The person who we know we should be and we want to be, but the person who is nourished by long indulgence in this material world, that person who has all these attachments which we don't really want to have, but it's still there and it's working. So you are now speaking about, you are now thinking, am I in trouble from this person? I would answer, if you take shelter At Krishna's lotus feet, you are not in trouble. By Krishna's mercy, that number two can become purified and can become a servant of the number one. But you need the strength of Krishna to help you. That shadowy person, which is still looming in our personality, which supplies us with most embarrassing dreams during the night, needs to be purified and needs to be made a friend. And that is possible only with Krishna's help. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays so nice: "O Gopinath, my mind and my senses are not under my full control. My mind despises spiritual authority." Doesn't like to hear that. But Gopinath, Tumi Hrishikesha, you are the Lord of the senses, which includes the mind. Please take care of me. So another thing which I want to say is, again and again I come back to this quotation which Giriraj Maharaj sent me over the computer, where it's from the fourth text, number four of the Nectar of Instruction, where Srila Prabhupada says, "Desires can be transformed by good association." Also the desire of number two, Indrani number two, that embarrassing desires or not helpful desires can be transformed by good association. Yeah, 100%. In this lifetime, by Krishna's mercy, you pray to Krishna, and by good association. Thank you, Mother Indrani. I must thank you, Indrani. You have really, 83, I'm sorry. Oh, lady, you cannot, for men it's a compliment when he's a little older, yes. 83, I'm sorry. 83-year-old. She's 83-year-old.
She doesn't look that old.
No. Just an elderly body, yes. Thank you, Mother Indrani. Giriraj Maharaj, you want this?
Well, I'm glad she brought that up, because I also had a question about that. Because when you presented it on the first night, one example you gave of the number two in the divided self is the person who doesn't really believe all the things we hear and say. And you said, don't just bring the number one to the japa retreat, bring the number two as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to know what you meant by bring the number two, and what do we do when we bring the number two?
Yeah. So now comes a volcano. Okay?
Number one says yes. Number two says, let's see what this is.
I think one of the worst things which we can do in our spiritual life is to pretend to be someone we are not. That is, to think we are only number one and pretend the number two is not there. If we do that for some time, if we do that, people will believe us, but Krishna won't believe us, and he will bring us into a situation where all of a sudden we are confronted with our deepest desires, which we really want to hide, which we want to pretend they are not there, which we never work on, which we never confront, which we never look at. Our Krishna consciousness can be, if we don't confront number two and purify him, drag him out of the shadow into a secure area where we can work with him, then he will eventually kill us. Because what we repress consistently without dealing and purifying it, that will at one stage, when we least expect it, when we are weak, raise its ugly head and undo us. So what I mean is with number two is that we are aware of him, we are honest about him, at least to ourselves, because we don't want to present him to the world, this guy, and make everyone and sincerely work on him. Understand, for instance, that I am that there is this, that there is this danger in me, there is this attachment. I need to deal with myself in a way that I can slowly purify it. I come from a zone where my leader was a wonderful servant, a wonderful personality, a wonderful leader, but he had not been dealing with number two. And when he was in a physically weak condition, number two came out like anything, because he was not purified, he was repressed, and he was not the light of Krishna consciousness could not touch him, because he had never opened himself up about number two in discussions with devotees. He had never searched earnestly for help from devotees. He had kept him in the closet, and then bang, he all of a sudden exploded. I'm speaking here about not being a pretender. That is what I'm speaking about. Now, I'm very, very, very aware that let me say it like this. Now, how do we purify number two? That's the essential question. First of all, we have to acknowledge that he is there. And we have to be honest and acknowledge he's still there. And we need help from Krishna to purify him. But if we don't purify number two, we will die as a, or I, if I don't purify my number two, I will die as we say in Germany, dirty old man. That means old man who has still so many issues and so many desires, and he will be reborn despite of his exalted dress in a situation where he will have to confront these desires and so on. So I believe very strongly, and I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur addressed that in Krishna Sanghita, that you see there are these anattas going on in your heart, and you pray to Krishna sincerely that he purifies them. They're compared to be like demons. They're very strong. There is no... So just ignore and pretend they are not there will not serve us. They are there. Then they are very strong. Like Keshios and Putana and a Bakasura, and I mean really significantly, it's childish to think they are not there. When Krishna sees his devotees praying to him, and he thinks this devotee is an honest soul, he will be able to. I will give him his mercy, my mercy. This is what I mean. I know it is a touchy subject, and I'm struggling with the subject, but you know. When you are 40 years in the process and you give your best, and then you still see there is this thing, the desire for fame, for instance, or the desire for prestige, and it gives you trouble. Now, what are you going to do with about it? Are you just satisfied? Are you just believing that automatically it will disappear eventually? I think by now we should think, okay, let's look. What is it exactly? Let me open the closet. Why is it there? And so on. And then let the light of Krishna consciousness shine on it. And I have done this over the past years and found great benefit. I see how things dissolve now, which I previously didn't dare to look at and confront. And do you know why they dissolve? It's not because of my own strengths. I'm too weak. I'm a conditioned soul. These materialistic anattas are their life after life after life. Just a few knowledge of a few verses won't drive them away. I sincerely have to turn to Krishna. And the question is, really, which comes back from Krishna, at least I feel like this. Wait a minute, you are telling me I should take this away. Do you really want it? And I think, of course, you know, we have our philosophy. No, the question is, are you really prepared to become a humble devotee without any prestige and honor? And then I have to scratch my head. And I begin to understand, while my lips say, I want to be pure, my heart says, but not just now, please. I like these things if I'm very honest and so on. And this is the situation of a conditioned soul who is divided. I'm praying every day. I have a prayer which addresses these things, and as I pray this now for 1 year, I notice I really want to become free from all these things. It's really, I don't like it, and then it goes very fast. No, this is too private. You want me to share my deepest material? Good. The prayer. Samsara sagarana to putra mitra grihakulat gavtaro me yuvameva upana bhaya vanjano. 5 verses. They are from the Sanat Kumar Samhita, and it says, anyone who prays these 5 verses will be guaranteed to do direct devotional service to the divine couple. And where is it? It's in a prayer. I don't know. Yeah, Mahanidhi Maharaj mentions them, but I don't know if he has the Sanskrit. We have published a book, Chanting from the Heart, and I think there is. If you want to have it, yeah, please give it to me. Or can you look with your glasses? Yeah. Yeah, if we, they are on the computer of Mahamaya. You can. Yeah, with the Sanskrit. 20, page 25, or I think it's 25, huh? And Mahamaya, you can go to Mahamaya. Mahamaya, you can get your email. She takes your email address and then sends it to you. That's the best. You could give it to Purusha Shuktas. Yes, somehow. And I must tell you, when you let it out, when you really are ready to see, I know, there's something, there's so many things in me, and you open it and it comes out, then you need a protected area so that it doesn't run all over the demon, you know, and mess up your whole life, your public life and your everything, you know, what you have carefully tried to establish in devotional service. So you let it out in a protected area and the animal will bite. Number two will bite and scream. It's the end of him. Oh, it's terrible. Like Ravindra Swarup, he always says, when he went on the 64 rounds chanting for 1 month, he all of a sudden, he says, he felt a sense of discomfort. And he wanted to find out, why am I not liking it? And he understood, it's the ego revolting against it. You put Krishna now in the center, but what's about me? You know, and so on. So, yes. But by this prayer, I can only say, I pray it now since so many, I don't know, a year or so, my life goes very, and I lose the stuff. Really, things are going away. I thought, this is not possible for me. It seems as if something in my genetic codex changes by this prayer, you know, and the deep conditionings are coming out. I see them and they seem to go away. Not by my own strength. It's not possible. These real anattas are too intense. We are not speaking about the children's stuff, you know. Not to eat sweets or, you know, that everyone can do, you know, control, no cream cheese for 1 week, you know, or 1 month, you know. Anyway, it's not a problem. Good. This is what I would like to contribute to your self.
Theologically, to bring them out means Krishna take yeah.
Or Balaram. Yeah. Yes, I don't, I see, in the list of anattas which are there, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that two anattas, we approach Balaram. We make an effort, but we also, we approach Balaram. It's Pralambasura. That is material lust, and Denukasura, which is you know, the burden with material knowledge and to the exclusion of spiritual knowledge, doubts in other words, which come from material perspective. These two demons, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we should make an effort and to work on these and. Pray to Balaram to change. And now, for all practical purposes, this is now what I was giving. I was giving a general answer that we need help from above. Now, how this help from above looks. Like is explained in a more specific context, but I would say if you go to Balaram and ask for help, or you ask Krishna for help, in a general sense, you are asking still for superior help. You can't do it alone. So therefore, I think the idea remains the same, that you need to acknowledge what is there and then pray for divine help. Yes, so if you for these two things, lust and doubts due to material knowledge, you go to Balaram, or you make an effort, your effort, whatever you can do, and but then you pray to Balaram or Krishna Balaram for help. And I always like to give this example, which I have heard from Radhanath Maharaj. He was living in Man Mandir with Ramesh Baba, and at that time you wouldn't be able to subtract something from your body on the hill itself, because it's a holy hill. So what you would do is you would go to the foot of the hill and then you would answer nature's call there. So once in the night, Radhanath Maharaj needed to quickly answer nature's call and went down in the hill, and halfway he saw two eyes glaring at him. There was a tiger or lion, some wild cat there, and they made the sound. And I don't know if ever you heard a cat, wild cat, making the sound to you. You just run and run and run. So he ran up and said to Ramesh Baba, who was lying on this cot just next to Radhanath Maharaj. He had his cot here and Ramesh Baba there. They were sleeping in the fresh night air because they wanted to have the cooling breeze. He was saying to Ramesh Baba, "Baba, tiger, tiger." And then Ramesh Baba, half asleep, grabs under his bed and produces a little stick and says, "I have stick." Radha Maharaj says, "What will stick do for tiger?" Then Ramesh Baba, now fully awake, says, "I do my best. Let Krishna do the rest." You know, he says, "I make my effort, but to be successful against the tiger, let Krishna needs to do that," you know. So I think this is a good formula. Give our best and then pray to Krishna and Balaram in some cases. And then by the divine strengths, something can happen. See, we are all small capitalists. We cannot do any business in the spiritual world. We need the investment of the spiritual world to increase our capital, then we can start acting and doing. Mm-hmm.
But it seemed that Thakur was saying that there's more responsibility on our part for those anarthas that fall around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. That's true. That's true. Well, you know, when you have lusty issues, you need to control the senses a little, you know, otherwise you will never, and then pray. If you don't do some sense control there, and some eye control and some this, or if you have so many doubts, you need to read in the Shastras and so on. But still, for the ultimate thing, you do need divine help.
A little bit more,
yes. You need to work certain diseases. The patient needs to do more on his side, and that like for instance, there are these liver connected diseases, there you need to really fast, you know, and not eat cream cheese. And I have no liver problem, by the way. So you need, there are some diseases where you really require to do some extra amount of effort, you know. Good. Thank you very much. Your questions are very, I can see this, you are really informed about the details of the philosophy. It's very nice that you ask these questions because they bring out more details and therefore are evoking something which is good for the practical life of a sadhaka. Mm-hmm. Good. But now, yes.
So my question is how to find the border. I know that I'm really doing my best.
This is a question for Giriraj Maharaj. I would very, seriously, I would really like to hear from you. How to, do we know that we do our best, and what is our best, and where are the limits of our best? And
well, I'm thinking of that saying of that you should work as if everything depended on you and pray as if everything depended on God.
You should work and then?
Work as if everything depended on you.
Mm-hmm.
And pray as if everything depended on God.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
I think again, there's different ways of working. In other words, one way is, say, more positive, offenseless chanting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The other, not negative, but the other is more to actually, you know, confront it, see it for what it is, and ultimately repudiate it.
Repudiate?
Reject.
Reject. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when you know, when you're thinking of it, you can get so preoccupied with it that it takes you away from our primary activities of, you know, chanting and hearing and serving. So, like everything, we have to be introspective, and at a certain stage we make a determination,
mm-hmm.
that, okay, I've gone as far as I can with this, I can't go any further now, it's up to Krishna. And if I spend all my time trying to deal with this, then where will I have time to chant and hear and spread the movement? Sometimes you just have to make a decision. And also pray to Krishna that, you know, I want to do my best under the circumstances. It seems this is what I could do, and, you know, but if you feel I can do more, then somehow let me know that you think I can do more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let me know what more I can do. And so much has to do with sincerity. There was a time, sort of earlier when I joined, I would pray to the deities. I was within the temple and I'd pray to the deities for guidance. And quite often I would get answers, but sometimes I wouldn't get answers. And when I didn't get an answer, I would always think, oh, well, Krishna's not giving me the answer because he doesn't think I'll follow the instruction if he gives it to me. So then I have to look within myself, you know, what is it, you know, I'm asking for the answer, I'm asking for an instruction, but am I really prepared to follow the instruction? And And then I'd work on that and try to bring myself to the stage where I really would follow the instruction, no matter what. But somehow when we get older, we seem to have more conditions. Like one of my god brothers said that when he was younger, he would pray to Krishna, please take away all of my material attachments. But now he prays, please take away all my material attachments, whatever it takes. But now he prays, please take away my material attachments, but be gentle. Or, please take away my material attachments, but gradually. And maybe when we were younger, we were more zealous or more naive or more resilient, more blessed by Prabhupada's physical presence. Maybe you can comment on this question of sincerity. It's not even just a question of sincerity. Well, it may be a question of sincerity. It might also be a question that we're more aware of our own sort of, I mean, this might be Maya, but, you know, more aware of our own human frailty. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And realize that I don't know, but I'm sure you get the sense of it too. Would you like to comment?
It may have to do something with humility also, that we begin to understand as we are older. We see our weaknesses and we recognize them. We can see them more easier. Whereas when we are young, we are just flying over everything.
Yeah, I think another thought that just came to me when you said that is that In medicine, for the doctor to perform an operation, the patient has to be strong enough. Sometimes the patient is too weak to endure the surgery. So then first the doctor has to sort of bring the patient to the stage where he's strong enough to endure the surgery. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Or sometimes it's like too late. Yeah. I mean, you know, the patient's too weak, too old for surgery, so then it's just other things, you know, maybe more gradual and less invasive, less traumatic. Those could be legitimate reasons. There can also just be lack of sincerity, but there could also be legitimate reasons.
I like these japa retreats very much for many reasons, but one reason is that as we chant extra rounds and we hear more about Krishna, we genuinely experience that our deepest desires turn to Krishna. I think therefore they are very, very helpful in no matter which situation we are, we are young devotees or if we are old devotees. I remember we had one japa retreat in Mendla. You were not there, Giriraj Maharaj, but many older devotees were there. Dravida was there, Amoga, Leela was there, Yadubara was there, Archana City, you were there in Kanamrita, he wasn't there. yeah, yeah. And many, and somehow it became such a cathartic experience that all the old devotees were just crying. And they were saying, for the first time I understand what Krishna consciousness is all about. They made such the exclamations, including Dravida Prabhu, who is sober-minded, you know. And Yadubara was behind the camera, and he was always wiping his ears, his eyes. And I was asking him afterwards, some dust came in your eye? No, I'm so emotional, I'm so... But Yadubara, you are dry as a stick usually. you know. And yes, I know, but emotions came to me, you know. I feel these things are necessary. We need to be touched as older people. And then, because, yes, as Giriraj Maharaj, as Indrani says, it's really different when you are in a body which is a little shy of 65, you know. It's really different from being 18, you know, and being running and jumping in the kirtan, and after the kirtan you fall on the floor, boy, and you that was a good kirtan, you sleep right there, and you jump up at 3 o'clock. My God, I can't tolerate this sleep any longer. When is Mangal Arati? Oh, another hour. No, I jump up now and go rush into the shower. What shower, Prabhu? Cold, of course. And then you have a mind which is, oh my God, my gums are receding. What is the future of my teeth? You know, and you deal with such problems, you know, and then you develop some weak thoughts, you know, when then you are worried, you are getting anxiety. What if all the gums are gone? You know, what will I do? Get one of these artificial teeth? This I don't have the money to buy this. You know, and you think like this. And this is a therefore, my dear devotees, young as you are, good energy, Hari Prasad, Jai Radhe, teeming with energy, you know, just jump into sadhan and so on. That's very important. We old guys are most probably only here because we have done that, you know, but now we have also, the mind is, becoming, and with me it's just starting. I'm a little shy of 55 only, but here devotees, Giriraj Maharaj has 10 years more in his ornamentation of years, you know, and it's just starting. Indrani, I can only imagine what it means to be 84. 83. What's the difference? Yes. But then we need elderly people. They have something. They need spiritual exposure. They need to be very. They don't have to rest only on their laurels. And when I was young, yes, no, we old elderly people need to take extra care. Therefore, in spiritual cultures, elderly people are supposed to chant more, read more. But in our movement, of course, we have one other thing which elderly people can do, service. Prabhupada trained us very much in service up till the end, until the wheels fall off our car, you know. And that is very good. That is very necessary to become a selfless servant. And to help the young ones, with the wisdom and the experiences and so on. That is, in other words, I want to say, yes, I think your thought about when we are old, yes, we deal with our existence in this world a little differently than we dealt with our existence in the world when we were young. I know you were known. I think Srila Prabhupada noticed that you had not enough shirts, and he took care of you to have enough shirts and everything. I have heard in I think Prabhupada Lilamrita, and your wealthy parents could see, wow, our son, our talented son, is living so austere, and they were concerned. And then Prabhupada guaranteed that you would get sandesh for good strength. he gave this promise to your parents. Giriraj Swami will get sandesh. I will make sure for good strength.
That's true.
Yes, so Giriraj Maharaj was nursed by Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. So you were a little bit very austere, and Prabhupada had to take care of you.
But what instruction he gave me that I forgot about for many years and then only fairly recently remembered? Because I had that tendency to push myself and not take care of myself. And Prabhupada saw it, so he said, to work very hard for 2 days and then to have to recuperate for 3 days, that is not a very good policy.
Mm-hmm.
So, to be mindful of the body sometimes as well, otherwise can be repercussions.
Shooting stars. And then you mentioned, like giving examples, like, oh, you're known as Rishikesh, you can control all the senses but not mind. You are some other examples. Govinda. Using the senses of your body but not mine.
I first of all want to say I know that you meant the right thing, but of course Krishna can control Krishna can control everyone's mind and senses. But the devotee sometimes says, please do it in my case also, like that. So, yes, the question is, what are the downsides of making such a bold prayer to Krishna, that Krishna, you kindly take care of me, and if you don't do this, I will be lost. I think a possible danger could be that we don't give our best effort, you know, and we expect Krishna to take everything in our hands. You know, for instance, with these two anattas, lusty desires, if we don't, you know, if we pray to Krishna, but at the same time continue eating everything and anything and doing anything and everything, then that wouldn't be good. We need to give our best effort, really. That is always there. Our own effort and Krishna's mercy. And I think as long as we are here, that we do our best effort, as far as we can go, then we will never do anything wrong. It's just like, you know, I have heard in India, when the life member preachers went to the rich to enroll them, then the rich people would say, yes, I will become your life member if Krishna makes that desire strong in my heart. You know? The Indians have such a proud ways of excusing themselves from their responsibility. I don't know if I have answered your question, but this is as good as my own efforts to give an answer can bring me. In other words, that's as good as I can do. Mm-hmm. Is it good? Is it? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I think so. Yes. I would like to turn this question to Giriraj Maharaj, because you spoke about these most perfect. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I quite caught the question.
Are we chanting?
I would say just as sacred, just as intrinsically worthy. It's again, our goal is to please Krishna, and there's no stereotype way of pleasing Krishna. What pleases Krishna depends on what we want to offer him and what he wants us to offer him. You know, sometimes one's health doesn't allow him to do loud kirtan or public sankirtan. So then one takes shelter of the holy name in japa. And that may, under those circumstances, please Krishna more. But service, in a way, it's like the question of service and chanting. By, you know, when we chant, we pray to engage in service, and so the chanting can empower us in service. But at the same time, by rendering service and pleasing our superiors, we get their mercy to chant better. So the two reinforce each other. They're not mutually exclusive, but they reinforce each other. So the same would be with japa and kirtan, and yeah, they all support each other. That's certainly true. But again, if you go out and chant and sankirtan, you'll chant better japa. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. The question is, how are we to understand that Haridas Thakur has his hand while he chants on his heart, and also the beats on his heart? Is this putting the hand and the bead back on the heart, is it part of our tradition? Rukmini says she has also seen pictures of the six Goswamis doing it. The way I would approach this, we were not, as far as I know, we were not specifically taught by Srila Prabhupada to do this. But if it helps, why not do it sometimes? I think the idea is you become more aware of the heart space where when you touch your heart. That's part of meditational technique. They sometimes touch the heart, or there, as some people greet themselves, sadhus in India greet themselves by first touching the heart and then extending like this a greeting. You know, it's something to which they do to ground themselves or connect themselves or anchor themselves with the heart. I think it is a gesture which the Indian carvers of Haridas Thakur, this is I think the first one who came up with the Haridas Thakur Murti was someone from Jagannath Puri who took parts of the branch, the Siddhabakuli branch, and made Haridas Thakurs. And of course, being an Indian, he could only think of doing this the Indian way. I think what I always think is put the externals aside and go to the essence. That's how I approach all this life. I think that was a little bit how Prabhupada, he made it very, very simple. He didn't get caught up with so many cultural details, but he taught really the essence of pure devotional service, everything for the pleasure of Krishna. That is please Krishna, that is the mood which we learn from Prabhupada. But if it should help us to move occasionally the hand to the heart, I would say, why not? But I wouldn't make a fad out of it. ISKCON is so susceptible to fads and fashions, it's embarrassing. I like this. Mm-hmm. Is there any comment? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not related to that, but just
mm-hmm.
something that I found interesting. There's footage of Srila Prabhupada chanting japa in his quarters in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
You might have seen him as just walking and chanting,
mm-hmm.
pacing back and
mm-hmm.
forth. Yadubara told me that Prabhupada stopped him from filming him. Didn't want to be filmed. And if you look closely, what Yadubara did to make it longer is he spliced the same footage together. I don't know, I just thought it was interesting that Prabhupada stopped him from filming him at that stage.
Why do you think he did so? He didn't want... Was it an intrusion in his private space? Yeah. Or
I took it like that. Shrutikirti Prabhu also told me sometimes Prabhupada would dismiss him. And he felt that Prabhupada just wanted that time to be alone with Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like we would imagine that Prabhupada was there just for us. That he had nothing
mm-hmm.
to do, nothing better to do than just be with us.
Mm-hmm.
And Shrutikirti Prabhu felt sometimes he just wanted to be alone with Krishna in his own mood, and he just didn't want us around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Me.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Good. So thank you very much for outlasting, staying with us. But time is also there. Okay, thank you very much. I wish you a good lunch, and little rest is required after lunch and then 4 o'clock.